This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. It's a big personality show today. And no, I'm not talking about myself as usual. We're going to line up the big personalities who voters may have lined up for our consideration beyond today's election results. We're also going to explore the tension between the doctrine of separation of church and state and contemplated bans on praying at public meetings. Does religious tolerance in America imply that banning prayer might actually infringe on someone's rights? It's a complicated question before the U.S. Supreme Court. Plus, the financial froth of Twitter going public this week and the tangible tech over at Chrysler. Are retooled manufacturing companies the better high-tech investment? And we note that Detroiters have retooled City Hall, electing Mike Duggan, who happens to be the first white mayor of Detroit since 1974. Duggan is one of the personalities who thanked voters last night and jumped right into our front row consideration as possible national figures. Fresh political faces, tested political faces. There's also Democrat Terry McAuliffe, governor of Virginia, winning in a squeaker over his Republican rival. Republican Chris Christie, reelected governor of New Jersey by a huge margin. A progressive Democratic mayor in the city of New York, Bill de Blasio, for the first time in 20 years. And add to those names, New Jersey's newest senator who won in a special election in October, Democrat Cory Booker. And don't forget outgoing New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is without a gig right now and undoubtedly making plans for something. WNYC reporter Anna Sale is with us. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks.
Also, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, welcome.
Hi, John.
Let's start with Terry McAuliffe. Is he too beat up after this campaign to be a national figure, or does he jump right into the front row?
Well, I don't think he jumps into a front row as a national politician. Terry McAuliffe's bailiwick was always fundraising, and we'll see how he can do as a policymaker because he's never done it before. But you're right, it was kind of a squeaker, 48% for McAuliffe, 45.5% for Ken Cuccinelli, the conservative attorney general of Virginia. Another guy, independent Robert Sarvis, got 6.6%. Now, the morning after, the autopsy, the blame, everybody seems to be taking the message from this race that they want to take. The Democrats say, hey, Republicans, the government shutdown killed you. Hey, we won Virginia for the third time in a row after Barack Obama won it twice. And it just proves, Republicans, you're at war with yourselves because you picked somebody too conservative, and we're going to keep beating you. Over in Republican land, John, the second day story for them is taking the message that you want to take. The Tea Party folks, the conservatives who backed Ken Cuccinelli, say if the Republican establishment had gotten behind us, we would have won. The RNC spent $9 million in 2009. This time they spent a third of that. We would have won. If Bobby Jindal, who the governor of Louisiana, who's in charge of the National Governors Association, had done the right thing and put more money in, we would have won. If you hadn't abandoned us, we would have won. Chris Christie, we begged you to come and campaign for Ken Cuccinelli. You refused. If you had done it, we would have won. And the Republicans say if you guys had nominated somebody more mainstream, this never would have happened. Everybody is taking the message that they want to hear. And what message have Republicans learned as they're at civil war with each other? John, it doesn't seem like they've really learned a salient message at all this morning.
Well, they've certainly learned that the governor-elect in Virginia is Terry McAuliffe. Here he is speaking to supporters.
From Lee County to Virginia Beach to Winchester, thank you for what you did to help us get elected the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
A sense of relief there from Governor-elect Terry McAuliffe, Democrat from Virginia. But listen to Bill de Blasio, the new mayor of New York, speaking to his supporters Tuesday night.
That inequality, that feeling of a few doing very well, while so many flip further behind, that is the defining challenge of our times.
Mayor-elect Bill de Blasio talking about income inequality. WNYC reporter Anna Sale, does Bill de Blasio inherit the mantle of Paul Wellstone as the progressive liberal on the national stage in the U.S.?
He's certainly embracing it. In his victory speech, he not only said that income inequality is the defining challenge of our time, he went on to say we must commit ourselves to progressive ideas that will lift us all. Bill de Blasio ran throughout this campaign as the most liberal in the field of the crowded Democratic primary going back several months. And then he won by almost 50 points over the Republican challenger. He talked about a tale of two cities. He talked about closing this income inequality gap. And that was also the way that he made his case that he would be different after 12 years of Mayor Michael
Very
Bloomberg.
Local issues in New York. It still remains to be seen how long the honeymoon will last. The big numbers, the really interesting numbers over in New Jersey. Here's Chris Christie getting reelected. Not a surprise, but there's some interesting stories in the numbers.
I know that tonight a dispirited America, angry with their dysfunctional government in Washington, looks to New Jersey to say, is what I think happening really happening? Are people really coming together?
Christie magic, Anna Sale?
You hear that there in that victory speech, speaking to Americans, not just New Jersey voters. But Chris Christie's victory was huge last night. I mean, 20 points over the Democratic challenger. And he won among Hispanic voters, according to exit polls. He won among women voters. He got 20% of black voters in New Jersey. So he had a great victory. But it's also important to point out that there was some political maneuvering that helped him get that victory. For example, Cory Booker opted not to run against Chris Christie. He's the Democratic star in New Jersey. And then not only didn't run against him for governor, then there was a special election for Senate, so Cory Booker wouldn't be on the same ballot as Chris Christie. So some help there in getting that big margin.
Cory Booker, someone to watch. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, outgoing, someone to watch. Todd, would you add or subtract anyone from our cast of personalities before we go?
There was a little race down in Alabama I want to bring you up to speed on in 10 seconds. It was the establishment versus the Tea Party. In a way, this race was a little bit different. A guy named Bradley Byrne, who had the backing of the Chamber of Commerce and the big Republican money, beat a fellow named Dean Young, who cast himself as sort of a Ted Cruz character. Bradley Byrne will be the next congressman from Mobile, Alabama, when he's reelected easily in January. That's a very red district down there.
Thanks for that. Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and Anna Sale, reporter for WNYC. Big personalities in their own rights. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You bet.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.